Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Over a century ago, the first gauntlets were thrown down. Men fought for pride and glory. Blood was spilt. Reputations were carved from sweat. The battles have continued for decades. An eternal struggle with a thirst for victory always. And to think, this is all over a little ball shaped like an egg. Welcome back. You've never heard the footy like it. This is Triple M Footy.
And how great to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. We are coming to you from Belmore and Belmore Oval. This is a sensational place to be broadcasting rugby league. We've got a terrific game in store for us. I am, of course, sitting next to Wendell Saylor, James Hooper and Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires. Lovely to have your company, Girds. Isn't it good to be sitting back here just looking down on a suburban footy field? Already one game underway in the Jersey Flegg where the Panthers 10 lead the Bulldogs 2. The New South Wales Cup to come before we get to the main event. Terrific, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a fantastic oval, this one, and spent a lot of sort of my younger years when you go through SG Ball and playing up here, and then obviously some first grade up here as well, and had some nice moments here. And I also like, Tone, seeing the fact that we've got a game on just before the main game, so you've got a lot of the local people here. The town's a buzz. Went through Belmore this morning, and everyone's in there getting ready for their, or having their game day preparation, and having a coffee and something to eat.
Belmore Road, because I was walking along there earlier this morning. There were people,
it's great,
faces
isn't it?
Painted.
Yeah,
they weren't coming
it's really
here,
good
they,
for the community. it's great for the community, and it's great to be back at Belmore.
Del?
Yeah, it's good to be here, mate. I think I've only played once or twice here, but always enjoyable coming to suburban grounds, and always tough to play the Dogs here. So they love it.
That is the job of the Titans later on this afternoon, 3 o'clock kickoff as they take on the Doggies, who James Hooper will be farewelling Moses Mbai.
They are. He's off to the West Tigers. But just back to suburban footy, Tone, there's just a charm about it, isn't there? Whether it's Belmore, whether it's Cogra, whether it's Leichhardt, Shark Park, all those brilliant venues, you can really see that the fans love it. It just creates a terrific atmosphere. What a cracking day. And I tell you what, there'd be no better place than on that hill this afternoon and just kicking back and enjoying the footy.
Yeah, I think Gerds and I might go over to the hill later on as we listen to your call, Wendell. Yeah. We'll maybe sit up under the Peter Moore scoreboard, Gerds.
Yeah, I can't wait for that, Tone. If the sun's still out there, I mean, have you got your sunblock on?
I do have the sunblock on.
Maybe a light beer?
Shandy or two, and we'll be away. We've got plenty in store in the 3 hours that we have to share before kickoff in this game. Just running through the Taipau scoreboard, what's already happened in this round on Thursday night, of course, South Sydney continued to impress, don't they? They flogged the Eels 42-24 and last night the Roosters over the Panthers 32-6 and the Cowboys still cannot get a win. The Warriors 23-16 winners. The big story though, which we'll get to very shortly, is the injury toll that has come out of those games fairly early in the weekend ahead of State of Origin next Sunday, the standalone game. And both Freddie Fittler and Kevin Walters would be a little bit concerned about what's happened. The players that won't be running around in blue and maroon jerseys next week. We'll get there very shortly. As I said, we're going to talk with Danny Badiris and Mark Schwarzer because it is one of those Saturdays where there is so much sport to look forward to across the day and the evening. Get to all of that. Stick around. Saturday Triple M, NRL. What was I saying about it? How much I love suburban grounds. What I do love about the Bulldogs have just gone into score here at Belmore Oval. This is in the Jersey Flegg, 10-8, the Panthers lead. But the conversion from right in front, the ball ends up in the yard of the house just behind the ground.
Yeah, you just got to hope someone's home and they kick it back.
Somebody
the other end, Tone, where you can put it on the express train going to Central.
So exactly
you'll never get that one back.
That's right. This is Saturday Triple NRL. As I said, we do it thanks to Iveco. All right, some injury toll. James Hooper, can you just give us the information, the latest information? And it's not all about State of Origin, but certainly some of those stars who we would have thought would be lining up next Sunday in State of Origin 2, the crucial game, won't be there. Other others under a cloud. Just where are we with that toll?
Well, it's been carnage for both coaches, Kevvy Walters and Brad Fittler, hasn't it, Tone? So, look, Dylan Napa for the Sydney Roosters did a syndesmosis injury last night, so the view is that he definitely won't be available for State of Origin 2. Michael Morgan at the Cowboys, he's done something to his bicep. They don't know that it's torn completely, but the early reports are he's had a scan. He's going to be out for a minimum of 6 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So that puts a red pen through Michael Morgan in terms of the rest of the State of Origin series. The big one for New South Wales is Regan Campbell-Gillard. He's got an undisplaced fracture of his jaw, which means he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks. He's got to go and see a surgeon and figure out whether he actually needs a plate or anything like that put in there. And then the good news for the Blues is that Latrell Mitchell, that neck injury looked really nasty last night, but he's pulled up okay, and the view is that he's going to be fit and available for selection, so good news for the Blues on that front.
Injury reports, of course, thanks to Skills Certified. It was great to see Tyrone Peachy when he was in the sin bin actually going into the Roosters dressing room to check on Latrell Mitchell last night. It was great.
They're good mates. It was
right.
A nice touch
for indeed.
That.
Yeah. All right, let's go through them. Obviously, Regan Campbell-Gillard, let's start there. That's a terrible blow for the Blues, but also for him. He's come into his State of Origin first. Impressive first go around. Now he's gone. Where do we go? I mean, today, later on today, we see Ryan James will run around for the Titans. A little bit more energy in his step, you'd imagine, this afternoon.
Yeah, look, he was almost called into the squad for game one. Unfortunately, RCG, I mean, you won't get to play in front of his home fans, which obviously would have been another box that he would have liked to tick in the Origin arena, but he'll get more opportunities. Yeah, they've got a couple of decisions to make, but I think that'd be the sort of the obvious choice. And I think he's a little bit of a victim of playing for a struggling club sometimes, Ryan James. Like, I like the way that he plays. He's big. He's aggressive. Unfortunately, Gold Coast, he spent his whole career basically up there and they haven't had much success. And I think on the back of that, he's sort of a little bit out of sight, out of mind. But, saw a quote from Freddie in the paper today and speaking about, you know, he likes the way that he does all the little things right. He watches him obviously pretty closely and he's able to come up with a try and plays with a lot of energy and he's a good leader and he works hard at his game. So, yeah, he gets a chance today to impress against Dave Clemmer, who he'll probably be lining up with if he gets the nod. So that does make this game a little bit more interesting.
Hoops. Will Paul Vaughan, will he shift onto the start rather than the bench and they pick somebody else to come through and from the bench? What's your thoughts?
Oh, look, Tone, I know initially they really liked Paul Vaughan and the impact and the leg speed and the way that he finds his front. They really liked his contribution from the interchange bench.
Yep.
So I'm not sure that they would want to change that balance of the side. But look, as Gert's just touched on, definitely Ryan James, he was a shandy away from being picked for game one. He even got as far as being told, pack your bags, you're on the plane.
Wow.
And then he got a phone call at the last minute. And after David Clemmer had an absolute blinder against the West Tigers, Brad Fittler and Greg Alexander decided that they would go with David Clemmer in the side. So, look, James was close. I think he's most certainly an option, provided he puts his best foot forward today. Up against Clemmer, up against Aaron Woods, both played for New South Wales and Australia, so adds a bit of spice in that sense. The other alternatives I would have thought would be possibly Trent Merrin. I know he was also very close. He got a phone call from Brad Fittler to say he was very, very close in terms of game one. And then the other one, which I know they did discuss but moved away from, is shifting Tyson Frizzell from the right edge into the middle and actually starting Tyson in the front row. That would mean Angus Crichton starts on the right edge, and then that would mean somebody like Tarek Sims come on to the interchange bench. Mm. So they've got a few options.
But Tarek can play in the middle too. I think he played last year there.
Yeah,
but I think his best football has been on the edge when Joel Thompson's
What about Jake Trbojevic? Would they think about possibly starting him?
That's another
Straight
option,
into the
isn't it? Because he's very good. Yeah, so that's definitely, look, you know, as much as you don't like to see RCG sustain that injury, and it is a real shame for him and all of his supporters out there, but one door closes and another one opens, and thankfully the Blues, they have got a couple of options there.
What was the James Maloney? He was kind of limping around a bit.
So I had a nerve issue at the back end of the game last night, but he's told everyone he'll be okay. And look, given the fact that there's only 7 days turnaround, so normally, you know, you've got the 10 days and guys will be going into camp, and that's why they use the 10 days. And I understand that for clubs, they're really happy about the fact that they don't lose a player for another game. But yeah, for a series that's the showpiece of the game and we want to have our best players on the field, it's not a lot of a turnaround. And look, from New South Wales perspective at the moment, we got our spine through basically intact, which is great, because I know you kind of hold your breath, don't you? And it's, you know, Cleary and Maloney got through okay. Cook got through well on Thursday night, and then Tedesco got through last night. So, you know, Queensland have still got to get a couple of really key players through over the weekend, and Kevy will be holding his breath.
Tyrone Peachey, as we mentioned, he was binned. Will anything come of that in terms of a fine or...
No, we'll wait and see, yeah, what the match review committee decide in relation to that. I didn't think there was much in it. I mean, he got sin binned. I would have thought that was a sufficient penalty.
Yep.
If you actually watch it in slow-mo, I didn't think...
What, for the bump out of the way?
No, I remember he comes in at the end and
completes but he got sin binned
with an arm.
For the bump, didn't he?
Didn't he get binned for that? Oh, he was on the court for that.
Yeah, I don't think there's much in that.
No.
All right, now we mentioned Dylan Napa. He's out for Queensland. Wendell Saylor, Kevy's obviously got some other concerns. We talked about Michael Morgan as well. Billy Slater isn't playing for Melbourne, but we're told he will be right for State of Origin. Matt Scott also didn't play. That would put him under a serious cloud of being recalled to the side.
Be a massive gamble for Kevy. Like, Kevy's really earning his coaching spot now. So I thought Matt Scott should have been brought back into the game too, because they need a forward leader. They need an enforcer. You know, they're worried about Cook's agility, but I don't care. Damien Cook on any given day can beat anybody. I'd still pick Matt Scott, even though he didn't play.
Yeah.
I just think they need someone there to lead from the front, especially with Napa out now. You know, Jared Wallace for me was pretty disappointing. Cohen Hess. But Joel Fangowie, I'd love to see him come into the team too. I just think he's played some really good minutes. He can play in the middle and play on the edge.
You know what always amazes me? Sorry, Hoops. You know what always amazes me is about this time of year when, you know, the Queensland, they find themselves a little bit behind the eight ball and they say, but it doesn't matter who we pick. It's about when we get in there and when we put that jersey on. It's bigger than the individual performance. It's all about the state and the farmers, and they go through the rhetoric of, you know, what they do every year. But then they've got a guy like Matt Scott, who's played 30 origins. Even though he's not fit, why can't they just give him the jersey and know that he's going to do the job that they talk about? That, you know, it doesn't matter how fit he is and what he's been through and what his injury is. He will just all of a sudden become, you know, a legend out there on game day. So, but all of a sudden, no, they're worried about him and they're going to go with someone else that has less experience.
Yeah, well, look, I think Kevy's been put under the blowtorch here. You know, obviously there's a couple of senior players that have moved on. You know, Tomlin from New South Wales, but Kevy's starting to, you know, earn his spot here. I'm not as confident as I have been in the last couple of years, you know.
Yep. We've seen the Maroons show loyalty with players like Nate Miles last year was selected for game one, even though by his own admission, his club form had plateaued a little bit, but he had always done the job for Queensland. Sure. The other player that you just touched on a second ago, who I reckon is definitely right back in to the frame now, is Sammy Thaiday, because of his, because of his experience.
What about Lilliman? Lilliman's been there and done a job for him before. Scott Bolton, does he get a chance? He was fantastic at the back end of last year.
Well, I think Gordy's with you. Gordy reckons Sam's got one good game, and I think Lottie Takiri as well. I just don't know.
I'll tell you why I like Sam. It would be because I like Joel Fangau. I think you have to pick him now, right? But you could push Papali into the front row off the bench, have Fangau on the bench. You start Papali and Thaiday in the front row. That's an experienced front row. Papali gives you plenty of punch. And you
what
know
about
Sam.
Wallace?
Personally, I wouldn't pick Wallace.
Yeah, but
he's not playing today.
Yeah, but I mean, he's part of their squad, and I mean, he started last game, and I'm sure he's another opportunity.
These are all decisions that Kevy's obviously going to agonise over.
Yeah, the other decision that came through in State of Origin 1 when Billy Slater pulled out, obviously Michael Morgan got the number one jersey. Kalyn Ponga is the name that everybody in rugby league continues to talk about. Now, we'll hear from him a little bit later on, but just obviously throwing that back in. Morgan's gone. You know, we assume Billy Slater, so his injury gets through that. He plays. You're not putting Ponga in, or you put him on the bench?
Oh, look, I've said no, and I said no the whole time, but it's got to a stage now where it's all or nothing for us. You know, I'm probably starting to turn a little bit. Even Sowey said that. He goes, mate, why wouldn't you pick him? And I just thought, you know, we've got Milford in that there, but still they're not playing at that standard, and they can't do, you know, what he can do. I think it's going to be cool if Kevy picks him, but, and he's a confident young kid.
He's absolutely confident. The thing is, though, with Billy going in a little bit underdone and being Ponga's first camp and being a short one, at what point does Kevy need to tell the young guy that he's either playing, or you can't put him on notice and wait till Friday for Billy's last sort of run to see whether or not Billy can play. So it's an, given the circuit, if you had Darius or someone there, you could sort of throw him in late because he knows what to do. But with a young guy, you've got to give him a full week's prep.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's just funny how that turned really quickly, even with Darius. Like, he's still playing good enough football. He's not playing his best football, I agree, but just like that.
No. Valentine Holmes might be an option at fullback at late notice, and you bring someone like Oates in on the wing. I mean, you've got talent.
You know who else is playing good football that he never gets a mention? I think he got mentioned a couple of years ago, Cole Felt.
Yes,
he was North Queensland's best player. You know, after that amazing try for the end of the grand final that Kyle felt, I thought he was just going to be kind of a trivia question down the track, but he actually plays strong, great football every week, doesn't he?
He played a little bit of fullback last night too. Yeah. They were a lovely pass for a try. Yeah. They were in disarray. I thought he was the Cowboys' best last night.
Totally. All right. Well, any injury reports, as we said, there's plenty of them, are all thanks to Skills Certified. Get your trade qualification with the help of Skills Certified Australia. Wendell Sullivan, question without notice. Do you have a fear of heights? I mean, we're up quite high here at Belmore Oval, overlooking this beautiful suburban ground. What happens with you?
Yeah, like I just, when I was younger, I just used to have these dreams about falling off a bridge just and I used to wake up in the middle of the night. So I'm scared of heights. So when I first came to Sydney, they wanted me to do
A bridge climb or something?
And I said no. The Dragons did something. You know when Brett Finch jumped out of the plane? They asked me to do it and I said no.
Finch jumped out of a plane.
Yeah. Dragons did this thing where they asked me to do it.
He does that every weekend.
Yeah.
That's just Saturday night for him.
But even, you know, that I don't know what that drive is from San Francisco to LA or whatever, you know, my missus had to drive the whole way. I was like in the fetal position. Like, that's how scared I was. It was like that. And the kids are laughing all the time about it.
So you're scared of heights.
Yeah.
Gordon Tallis is scared of the dark.
Yeah.
He has to have a light on at night time. So is Alf as well.
Alf, yeah.
Oh, I love it, Queensland.
What are you scared of, Hoops?
Lots of things, Wendell. Yeah. Lots.
What about you, Gerds?
Oh, us four in this really small box.
Yeah, a little bit, to be honest. Saturday, NRL Triple M. Plenty to come. We are going to catch up with Danny Badiris very shortly. We'll also speak with Mark Schwarzer. Sterlo's going to drop in. It is a huge day. It's 10-8 in the Jersey Flag. The Panthers over the Doggies. Stick around. Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Ryan Girdler, James Hooper, Wendell Saylor and Tony Squires with you. And a great pleasure as we're in Belmore watching the Jersey Flag as we speak. The Panthers 10 over the Bulldogs 8, just 3 minutes
left. Hey, Tony, I just got to give a quick shout out to the Arthur family who are driving down the coast at the moment. They love our show. They listen every weekend and they're off for a little dirty weekend.
Wow.
Down in Wollongong, I think. So.
Wow.
Are they going to watch the football first before...
I don't know what they'll do down there.
The Arthur.
Yeah. Bit of a loose clan, the Arthurs.
Right.
Any relation to Brad? Or?
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping just two of them are going down this weekend.
No.
Do we know?
No, I think the kids will be there as well. They have an open relationship. They're a very open family.
All right. Well, another man I think is heading to Wollongong for completely different purposes is Danny Badiris. He is, of course, the New South Wales assistant coach.
Talking about open relationships.
Love it. I just jumped in that car, boys. I was just about to switch you on myself. So, 3 hours in the car, just listening to your dog pat.
Exactly. How are you, buddy? You're heading down there for a terrific game of football, but how have you been? How are you and Freddie been watching the injury toll mount from last night?
Yeah, I think my 3 hours might be taken up of talking and thinking all things. The options for what happened after last night was a bit of carnage for both states from there. But, Regan Campbell-Gillard looks like he probably won't be able to play game 2 and 3, which is really disappointing for him. And hopefully Luttrell pulls through. So just got to look at some options in and around what we can do.
Do you have you'd have a bit of an idea, Bedsy, wouldn't you? I mean, obviously, you guys have been discussing the changes and the makeup of the team probably for the last 5 or 6 weeks. So you'd have a few guys on the radar that, you know, given this sort of situation, you'd be prepared for?
Yeah, there's one thing for certain, Gerds, isn't there, that you're going to get injuries through the 6 weeks. So Origin over the past has been over 9 weeks, which probably eats the competition up, and you always a lot of risk with injuries. But for 6 weeks, yeah. You know, it's going to be pretty short and sharp, but at the same time, you've got to play 2 games in between each Origin. So high chance of players getting injured, so you need a bit of a depth chart in all positions.
Bedsy, Ryan James was only a shandy away last time. He's up against David Clemmer and Aaron Woods today. If he puts his best foot forward, is that the most logical option? Or
yeah, well, it's a big day today, isn't it? Like, looking at last night, if we get through today, I think there's only maybe Josh Addo, Carr, playing for Melbourne tomorrow, and Nick Kotrick, who was in our 19 for game 1, that are playing tomorrow. So yeah, it's a big day. If we can get through and get a bet a little bit easier tonight. But, Ryan James in the mix. There's some options in around a couple of other players as well. But Ryan James played sensational last week against South and he's in good form. So we've got a few of those guys who can play middle and back row, but who we're going to go with, not quite sure.
Hey, Betsy, Del, mate, how are you going, all right?
Hey, Del, how are you?
Good, mate, good. Hey, mate, what have you liked about young Cook? Like, just the way that he plays, you know, he's got so much speed, but he just picks his time. What do you like about him?
Yeah, exactly. You saw it in the first set down there in Melbourne, and, you know, he looked up and I think it was tackle two or tackle three, and he looked out and the line speed was so intense and rushing up. He had enough smarts just to look and then just poke his nose through and just took the tackle. And those little things, I think he's seeing things really easy. I think he's seeing different pitches and different players coming at him that, you know, a lot of the other hookers aren't seeing. And I think that's putting him in good stead to play well most games. But he won a lot of rucks with the ball and without the ball. You know, I think defensively he goes underrated a lot, and he had to really stand firm a lot of the times. And so he's winning his rucks in defence, and that's the part that's setting his attack up.
But it's always tough, obviously, the idea of playing that game before selection for something as important as State of Origin. There must be nerves about that. And I guess that there's some boys in that Dragons pack, they already know they're going to be there. So that's, and they've seen the injuries last night. Running out, obviously just having to put in 100% commitment physically, but with that in the back of your mind, it's tough.
It is tough. And you look at last weekend, so they played Wednesday, and then I think most players can get themselves up for that round, straight after the Origin, because you're on a bit of a high, and if you were to lose Origin 1, you still got a bit of adrenaline going, and you can probably push through. But it's the next week, it's this round. I think for most players, it's a bit of a challenge to get up to the energy stakes, but more importantly, just to concentrate and know when you got a big game around the corner for next week, and it's only a week's preparation. We're going Sunday, and the game's on Sunday, so there'll be a lot going through all these 35, 36 players that could be playing in game two next week, going into this round. And as you can see, there's been a couple of flighty performances at the same time, but I'm sure you need to leave that all at the door and move on and just think Origin from the time you roll in on Sunday night.
Bedsy, have you or Freddie or Brandy got an update on young Latrell? We all saw those images and that vision last night, but then we're hearing out of the Roosters this morning that he's expected to be okay and should be available.
Yeah, it's one thing we do really well in our game now is the duty of care and the care that they do get. And as you saw, the concern and all that would have taken from Latrell, I guess you could say, is just one of those words, those crucial words that the staff, if they hear that, then they just go into lockdown and just make sure it's all okay. So I'm not sure what word that was from Latrell, whether he might have said he heard something, and then the next thing that just goes into that stretch mentality. So the care that was given and taken is and sensational, and that's what the players need. And I'm sure looking at him in their dressing room pictures, when Peach went in there just to see if he was all right, he was up. So hopefully it's just a bad strain and he can shake it all off and get ready to come in over the next couple of days.
Gee, the confidence he's pulled out of that first Origin game, Bedsy. We saw it on show there last night before he got injured. I mean, we all know that he's got talent, but gee, being a State of Origin player certainly hasn't done his form any harm.
No, he was in the zone, wasn't he? He's in the zone at the moment, and hopefully that doesn't dent his confidence. I don't think it will. And a bit of friendly fire from his New South Wales teammate, just in Nace, just got stuck under him there, and just the way his head pulled through, that looked like it was okay. But if it was a little bit longer stuck in there, it could have been a bit of a serious injury. But he's been in some confident mood in both last week against Newcastle. He streaked them, and when you do play at that level, and he pushed through and fought through some periods in Origin 1 where I guess he's never been to before, but and then you come back into the NRL, and that's what you expect out of your Origin players, and that's why all coaches in the club land want their players to play Origin, because they know how good they can come back.
Bedsy, obviously your focus has been on boys running around or potentially running around in blue jerseys, but you clearly would have had an eye also on the Queensland camp. What have you made of the injuries for them with Dylan Napa and Michael Morgan? Obviously Matt Scott didn't play. Billy Slater's not playing for Melbourne, but is said that he will be right. What are your thoughts on what's happening there?
Yeah, there's a bit going on, isn't there, for both states, and there's a lot of phone calls to and froing today for both camps, I'd imagine. But if Billy Slater was to play, what were they to do with Michael Morgan? Where were they going to put Morgan? Were they going to put him in the halves? And what were they going to do with Ben Hunt? Where were they going to put him? And all these little things, maybe what could happen. But at the end of the day, that we can just keep saying whoever they put out in that position, this is where they feel most comfortable in this position, where they've got injuries, they've got backs to the wall, they're coming into Sydney. This is where they're at their most dangerous. So as much as you got definitely an eye on them, seeing what they're doing up there, but it's just all focus in this Coogee camp here for us, rolling and starting in there tomorrow.
Bedsy, you and Freddie had a little dabble at NRL coaching, and now you're back with your knees under the desk. Are you enjoying this second opportunity that you've been given? Obviously, results based, you've done well so far, but are you enjoying it second time around?
Yeah, dip the tail, I guess you could say, Gertz. It was, you know, that part I did. I did a bit of assistant coaching, which was great, and I had 6 weeks as a head coach, but that was the easiest part, just getting ready to play. But so much more goes into that head coaching role, and that's where I guess Origin, that 20% I did for that 6 weeks, feels like an Origin prep, where you just got to get the players up to play and get it, pull them together, and that's the part of coaching I enjoy doing. But understanding that it's in the clubs, it's only a small part of it. You got to get your list right, you got your salary cap management, you got all sorts of things during the season that happen. But Origin, you're coming in for three intense preparations, and hopefully you can get a job done, and it's exciting at the same time. So it's a privilege to be involved and be involved with Brandy and Fred there. So we've got a good thing going on, and hopefully we've got a lot of work to do to get anywhere near getting to where we want to get to.
And Beds, you're back in the old hometown of Newcastle. Nathan Brown has signed an open-ended contract extension. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the forward thinking of Philip Gardner up here in Newcastle, which is great. Who was, at the West Group there, so it's something you probably, a lot of clubs and organisations haven't gone down that road. But there's a lot of things that Brownie will be looking after, I mean, not just the head coaching role. There's I guess you could say KPIs around attendance and all these things, community, juniors, all these things you got to get through and tick off, and it's not just results on the field. And Brownie's across all those things, and he's how he wants things to work, and he's the one that's going to take the club forward. And I think it's a really good step for both club and Nate with his family here, because they just love it here. They don't want to go anywhere else, and just works his backside off to make sure that never happens and the club succeeds.
Hey, Bezzy, if they pick Kalyn Ponga, do you think he could handle Origin, in your opinion?
Absolutely. That's the thing. I think everyone sits back now and go, you can't handle Origin, but as soon as until you get that opportunity, it's hard to tell. And as you can see, the thing with all the good players, Dell is the time that they've got, and he's got that in abundance, hasn't he? So he just sees, talking about Damon Cook seeing different pitches and seeing different things, I think Kalyn sees different to a lot of players, and he's just a special talent.
All right, Danny Badiris, thank you so much for your time. Jump in the car, head to Wollongong, put the radio on. If you want to call us and complain about anything we say, 133353 on the way down, hands free, please. Nice to talk to you. Good luck.
See ya.
Yeah. Bye. There he goes, Bedsy, one of the greats, Danny Badiris. Just a reminder of those scores in the Jersey flag full time. Penrith 10 beat the Bulldogs 8. New South Wales Cup is up next here at Belmore. Again, the Panthers taken on the Doggies, all leading in to the Doggies and the Titans. Kickoff is 3 o'clock. Plenty ahead. Saturday NRL on Triple M. Coming to you from Belmore Oval, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor, James Hooper and Tony Squires with you. I'm a bit disappointed in you, Ryan Girdler. Your commitment to, what you pledge, what you say you're going to do. You arrived here today, you were fasting, no food was going to pass the lips.
Yeah.
Sandwiches arrive, I'll have some of those.
Yeah.
Straight into
disappointing.
It. Where is
I've been
the discipline?
I've spending way too much time with you lately, Tony.
Haven't the I? Discipline you have?
Yeah, there's no discipline. Well, usually, we come here and they give us pies and sausage rolls, and you end up...
Yum, where are they?
And at the end of it, you walk out of here just feeling awful, and then we were going to go and have a couple of beers, and then they brought in, the egg salad sandwich.
Yes.
Got to have part of that.
Yeah, well, back up, Sparky. Talk me through your plan. What was your
idea?
Every now and again, I go through those different stages, Tom, where I just fast. I don't eat for a while. I get hungry.
Yeah.
And I was...
What you get?
I was on the path.
You make yourself.
I like getting
hungry.
I think sometimes it's just healthy, for your metabolism, just to feel hungry and eat one meal a day for a while.
Is this back into that kind of lion mentality?
Yeah, the 70-30
food's not always available.
Those philosophies. That's how it was in nature. So sometimes I follow that path and get a little bit wild, Tony.
Is that why you walked here from the north?
Yeah, I felt like I walked here. It took me 2 hours, but I've cracked for an egg sandwich, but I'll be washing that down with a lager later. So who cares, really?
Well, this knows the bar sign. someone has gone off from the bar.
I've been trying to look for someone over there having a beer, and I can't find anyone. So I hope that's not the the child-friendly family hill over there, Tony.
I'm sure we'll find somewhere. There's something for everybody here at Belmont. Get down, of course. Moses Embiid will be signing off from the Bulldogs. A mid-season transfer. We'll get to that and plenty more. Is there any, speaking of which, Robbie Farah, is there any more news on that, James Hooper, whether he, again, will head to the Tigers mid-season from South Sydney?
I think it's a chance of happening, Tim, but there's still a fair bit of negotiating to go on. So as it sits at the moment, yes, Robbie has met with the Tigers coach, Ivan Cleary, and definitely the Tigers are interested. I think they'd like it to happen before June 30,
yep.
But there is still a little bit of negotiating to go on, so it's not a fait accompli just yet.
What would happen? I mean, it's been really good management by the Bunnies so far to be able to bring him in and been able to rest Damien Cook, who's got a massive workload. I think he made over 50 tackles again the other night. So if he did leave before June 30, obviously there's another Origin game. There would be another option to use him in first grade.
I think they might have the bye for that
third game. Right?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. I've got to double check that. Okay. But speaking to someone at Souths earlier, they said, look, if we can just get through this next Origin game as it sits at the moment, we haven't heard from the Tigers yet, so we're still waiting for them to pick up the telephone and tell us the terms, etc., and do a bit of a negotiation. But I think it is a chance of happening. And Souths, look, at the moment, they're all about people first. I've heard their coach, Anthony Seibold, say that a lot, and I think that they're taking this bigger picture view that, you know, Robbie has done a great job for them, hasn't kicked any stones in his tenure at the club. He's been playing predominantly reserve grade this season. And so I think they're happy for him to get an opportunity. And again, it needs to be ticked off by the Tigers. Yep. But if everything can come to fruition and he can end up back at West Tigers where it all started and he can play NRL and he can finish on a strong note, then I think that'd be well. Interestingly, I think the game, if it does all get green lit, then I think the game that he will be back for is the West Tigers at Leichhardt Oval playing against the Gold Coast Titans. So there's a nice little bit of symbolism there. I think from Robbie's point of view and from all Tigers supporters' point of view as well, I think it'd be, I don't think anybody would begrudge Robbie returning to the club because he was a great servant and certainly he had a lot of success when he was there.
Well, given his form in the last couple of weeks, and then you put Moses Embiid in the one jersey, all of a sudden it's a totally new-looking spine. Yep. And if you want to start scoring some points, which is what they need to do if they're going to continue on winning games in the NRL, well, you will only add to that.
As much as I think young Jacob Little is absolutely a player of the future, he had a double shoulder reconstruction over the off-season, and he's just finding his feet in first grade. He's had other injury setbacks this year as well.
Yep.
He's still feeling his way.
30 minutes a weekend.
Then Elijah Taylor, I don't think
that's quite worked out. Yep.
They've tried Matt McKilrick. They've tried Peter Godinne.
Yep.
So Ivan's tried a number of different things. You get Robbie Farah back there. Yeah, that's right. You get Robbie Farah back there. All of a sudden, problem solved. And look, if you still want to play Elijah Taylor there for a period of time, you got the option. But
is that just for this season, Matt?
It's a good solution. Yeah, I think it would only be for this season, as far as I understand at the moment.
Robbie could have a welcome back party up at the scoreboard at Leichhardt.
Oh, time.
That was so good.
It's a good option. The great other thing, obviously, Benji, if the two of them were to go out sort of more on their own terms at the end of the year for the Tigers, would be just a great little fairy tale. I'm loving what the NRL is throwing up this year. We all thought, and we've opened the vault several times already this year, and what we thought was going to happen just hasn't. And the same thing with what's going on at the top of the table now. I've got South Sydney firmly planted as my favourites at the moment. But each week, the team that we think is going great gets knocked off by somebody else. There's so many different teams that can do it. And with the Penrith game last night with the Roosters who struggled a little bit early, but they are finding their attacking mojo. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And as we said, Dylan Napa went off early. Jared Waria-Hargreaves played 80 minutes. That's... And they've been looking for that performance from him all year, and it was there brilliantly.
They were set for that performance last night. I mean, I think we saw it with Penrith a couple of weeks earlier against the Dragons, you know, where, you know, it was a top-of-the-table clash, so there's no excuse for either side, but you can just see Penrith were just a little bit more prepared for that contest, and I think we saw that last night with The Roosters, they obviously they rested their four Origin players the week before. Penrith, where they came off the Origin game, then they had to rush down to Canberra and play on the Friday night, then a big game last night for their key players against the Roosters. So, look, no excuses. I think it's probably the loss that Penrith had to have. I think maybe they got a little bit ahead of themselves after that Dragons win a few weeks ago. And that last night, I think they'll, you know, you learn a lot more when you lose a game, and I think they'll learn a lot from last night's performance. In saying that, how good is it to see, you know, the Roosters, when they click into gear? I think they had 68% of the football last night. I mean, you just can't... You starve a side of possession and they're tackling all night. Penrith end up missing 60 tackles.
Wow.
And that was just on the pure fact that, you know, the Roosters, they showed so much energy. And it was not so much their big stars that you expect to perform, but these other guys that are now coming up and making a real contribution, the Manus, the Radleys, the Liu's. I mean, these guys are just in great form at the moment. And you put that together with the class and the style that they have with some of their big game players and their stars, and they're a force to be reckoned with.
Well, for me, Rewira Hargraves, that's the best football that he's played for a long time. You know, he started slow at the start of the year, but now he's just hit his straps, Napa got injured, and that's the way that I expect the Roosters to play. You know, it's been a while coming, but, mate, you just got to fear the way they play.
You're spot on, Wendell. That's the best game I've seen JWH play, probably since he did his knee going back a couple of years. To punch out 80 minutes and get through the work that he did, make the contribution that he did. He lost his partner in crime in Dylan Napa earlier in the piece, and I thought it was a real statement game from Jared Wairea Hargraves. Funny thing is, the Kiwi side will be picked for this Denver test that gets announced tomorrow. I can't believe it, but I'm hearing he probably isn't going to be in that side. Which,
but Russell Packer is not playing.
Yep.
And Madalino is said he's not playing.
I hear loud and clear tone. That's why it makes it even more bizarre that he's not going to be there. I know Leeson Armour from the Dragons is going to be in the 17 somewhere. Yeah. And look, the early indications are that JWH, he won't be there. So I've got to say, that really surprises me. But then, yeah, look, in relation to the Panthers, Tone, three games in 9 days for their four rep stars. These blokes know that's a really heavy workload. So as Gerd's touched on, I think the Roosters were really set for that game. It was a semi-final for them. They'd had it circled on the calendar for a period of time, quite a long time. And I just felt as though, yeah, when they really did click, and they sent a warning to the rest of the competition that they're a long way off being done when it comes to being a genuine title contender.
Have you boys seen Blake Ferguson play better football? I know he's got a mistake or two in him, we know that, but he's just so strong when he carries that ball.
Yeah, look, I think he is in career best form. Yeah. Wendell, I've seen him play as good as this when he was younger, probably when he was at the Raiders and when he just used to come out and blow teams apart when he was playing in the centres and things like that. But this year, definitely, it is the equal of that.
Yeah.
I think he went very close to New South Wales selection, but the fact that Blake, all those good things he did last night, he can still come up with a mistake. Yeah. And I think in the big, big games, that's what swayed the Blues Brains Trust to go in a different direction there. But yeah, look, he's making a great contribution at that club.
That said, mistakes. So James Maloney continues to work on his intercept passes and does them beautifully. Somebody's going to pick one up just about every game. What about, you mentioned, Wendell, Victor Radley.
Yeah.
Now, his name, during the early part of the year when Jake Friendwood, there was some, you know, rumblings going on. There was a lot of chanting for Victor Radley to come on, and I kind of didn't know him until now. You see what he has to offer as a smaller size forward, but just playing so much above his weight with absolute smarts as well.
He's so aggressive, you know. I think he's better back row than he is a hooker, though. A bit worried about his passing, but he's a bloke that you want to play with. There's a bloke at the Broncos called Peter Ryan that played well above his weight. Mate, Victor Radley, when he's running the ball, mate, when he's making tackles, you can just tell he's made that hit. And he's just a really nice kid. You know, I saw him come through from Club Valley Crocs, him, Lachlan Lamb and Tristan, but he just doesn't look out of place in the NRL team there.
He's a terrific young bloke, too.
Two brothers.
Roosters local junior, played for the Club Valley Crocodiles, but he is just, when you meet him, he's got this infectious, warm personality, and he loves his football. I know the Roosters hold him in really high regard. Probably one of the most impressive things, he can play dummy half, but he can also play in the back row. Some of those goal line defence tackles that he has made over the course of this year, there was one on Marty Tapau against the Manly Seagulls that had Origin stamped all over it. And I know that seems a very premature and early days statement, but I heard Michael Ennis in Fox League make that comment last night. I've also heard Sammy Burgess say it, that the intent and the will that Victor Radley plays with, he's a player of immense potential. I know the Roosters plan to lock him up absolutely long term, because he is a local junior, and they just love what he brings to their club.
It's some of the other subtleties to his game, though, you know, pushing people out of dummy half and getting in there and setting up tries and just being in the right place at the right time. His ball running as well, I mean, there's people are going to question his size. But last night, you know, he should have scored a try. He just burst through a couple of Penrith defenders there in sort of the middle of that second half, and should have scored, but had the ball just sort of knocked out as he went to put it down. So even though he's not as big as some of the other guys that are going to play in that sort of edge position, when he runs with so much power and aggression, he just makes things happen. So I don't think size is going to hold him back whatsoever.
Well, shows you a sign of how strong he's going, Gerds. Trent Robinson made the call to start him last night and put Mitchell Orbison back to the bench. Well, Mitchell Orbison's played more than 250 games for the Roosters. So that shows you they've realised we just need to get this kid in the side
somewhere.
He needs
to play playing footy.
Yeah.
He's just got to be on the field.
Yeah, good performance by the Roosters. As a look at that ladder, thanks to EWFW Consulting Engineers, they have pushed up towards that top four. Number one, still the Rabbitohs after their performance on Thursday night. Of course, the Dragons can do something about that in Wollongong this afternoon when they take on Manly right here in the Intrust Super Premiership, the New South Wales Cup. The Bulldogs have gone in just 4 minutes played. They lead the Panthers 4-0, a kick from very close to the post. Still to come, and still to come plenty on this show next. We are going to give you an odds update from UBet's Jared Duffy, Daffy next on Saturday Triple M NRL. Beautiful Saturday afternoon at Belmore Oval. If you are anywhere nearby, just jump in here. A little bit of room still to see Moses Mbai say farewell to the Bulldogs. He'll be leaving before that June 30 deadline, heading towards the Tigers. Yes, Ryan Girdle?
No, I didn't say anything.
No,
he
was looking at me physically.
No, it's just good to see you like out here at the suburban grounds.
Yeah.
Back, you know, mixing with the people.
Yeah.
You know, the real people.
No, because there's a corporate
Sydney,
box somewhere just up there. I think I can find that corporate box after.
Yeah, because usually when I see you at a ground, it's like with a little glass of champagne
and a suit and a tie. Like,
yeah, you've got your loafers on. Yeah. you've just broken it down nicely today, and you're really fitting in. You actually might enjoy it, Tony, if you get out with the people more often.
Oh, I'm always with the people. I'm a man of the people.
I'll give you a story about Tony. So when we work in at the Triple M office in the city every Saturday after work, we knock off and we all go down, and you got to get in the car park and off we go.
Oh.
And so one day I've gone down with Tony, and he said, "Oh, where are you going?" I said, "I'm going down to the car park." And he goes, "Oh, do you get the public lift?" I said, "Oh, what's the alternative?" He went, "Oh, here, come with me." And he had some swipe card, and away we went. Lift.
The special lift.
That's right. There's somebody in the lift who opens the door for you. And they press the button for you, because pressing the button is quite dirty.
Yeah,
I have to use my elbow or somebody else's finger.
He pulls out a wet one.
Yes, and with that, you bet your home for NRL betting in 2018. Head to youbet.com or download the YouBet app today. Remember, gamble responsibly. Jared Daffy joins us. G'day, Daff.
Hello, Tony. Gee, you've changed.
Oh, haven't I? Yeah. I haven't. Look, I've known you for a long time, and you know me. I'm the kind of guy who just likes to mix with the general pop, don't you think?
Yeah, well, you used to be. I mean, we do go back a long way, but quite clearly, the way the boys are talking now, you've gone to a new level. You're there.
You must have known him, Daff, before you moved to the eastern suburbs.
No, he was there then. Actually, we go back to the fat days.
Exactly. The 1900s. All right, well, Daff, we're here right
the
now.
The only two surviving cast members from the fat.
Sadly true. A couple of sides that are struggling for win as we look out onto Belmont Oval this afternoon. Don't know who will be able to get the job. I guess the punters here will be hoping and praying that we'll be the Bulldogs. Who are they on?
Yeah, they're cashed up too. Those two matches last night, there wasn't a terrible lot price-wise in the two games, but both sides landed pretty decent plunges, and they've launched into the Bulldogs today. They're fairly short, I think. Anyway, they're $1.58. The Titans are $2.45. I've got a handicap line there at 4.5 points, but it's all the Bulldogs.
You'd have to be a big Bulldogs fan to take $1.58 about them this year. Hey, Daff, what about the premiership market? Wide open now, I'd imagine. And what about after the Roosters' performance last night? Has that changed at all?
Well, it has, Gerds. We've actually got a new favourite. It isn't the Roosters. It's South this morning, this afternoon, $5. Just ahead of the Roosters at $5.50. Dragons, $6. Storm, $6.50. Penrith out to $7. They were the favourites or equal favourites, and the Warriors into 11, Cronulla 12. So obviously it's going to change as these matches are played throughout the weekend, but for the time being, South's the favourites.
Now, what about Origin 2? Bit of injury carnage last night for both camps. Any price movement on that front?
Yeah, look, it looks like punters are just waiting to see now. Hoops, this has been really quiet today, and that's understandable because we're not quite sure who's going to be playing. New South Wales, still $1.38. Queensland, $3.10. That line there, 8 points. I guess it'll become a whole lot clearer on Monday.
Gerard Duffy, as ever, thank you so much. You bet. You're home for NRL season 2018. Download the You Bet app today and remember, gamble responsibly. Great. I was looking across to the hill under the Peter Moore scoreboard, and there was a kid just rolling down from the top to the bottom.
Oh, how good is it?
Yeah. I'll give you $50, Gerds, when we go over there and have one. If you will roll from the top of the hill down to the bottom.
Without stopping?
Without stopping.
We're holding the beer or without the beer?
At a degree of difficulty, if you've got the beer, it's $100. Saturday, Triple M NRL, plenty to come. We only catch up with the coaches, of course. So we'll speak with Garth Brennan. He's going to join us right here. Mark Schwartz, the Socceroos kick off 8 o'clock tonight. Huge game against France in the World Cup.
Oh, that is a huge. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, really, there's so much ahead for us on Saturday. Triple M NRL, we do it for Iveco.